Let's bow our hearts. Lord, we thank thee for this opportunity that thou hast brought us together in this thy house of worship for this afternoon hour, O Lord, to spend this hour in thy word and to meditate upon thy truths and the greatness of who thou art. Lord, impress deeply upon our hearts thy beauty and thy holiness and thy mercy, so that we, Lord, would know to love thee with all our hearts, to know thee, to love thee with all our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Bless our coming together. Bless this hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, I found for this afternoon's service, for our reading, portion of scripture found in the Psalms of David, number 63. Psalm number 63. Želim da se pročita iz Psalam 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God, every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before. Dear ones, in this Psalm of David, it's written in the heading here that it is a Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. We know he was in the wilderness of Judah when Absalom, his son, in a night of betrayal, had chased him from the throne and pursued him. And so David is found in the wilderness, away from the palace, away from the sanctuary, away from life as he knew it in Jerusalem, and he's in the wilderness of Judah. And we also know that in the wilderness, while he was there, that there were those Levites and who had, knowing that what the ark and the Ark of the Covenant was to tabernacle worship, they actually stole away with the Ark of the Covenant, with the Ark, and carried it on their shoulder safely out of Jerusalem and took it to David. And David is there, and though he thanks his friends for it, he sends the Ark back to Jerusalem. And we would wonder, why would he do that? Because it was so necessary in the tabernacle for worship. And yet David is opening up here, even in this psalm, of his recognition that God's presence for him was not reliant upon a physical, something physical, but rather his presence was with him and would continue to be with him in this time that he is being pursued and so on. And so he pens this psalm, and we have to really consider it. He opens it up and he calls upon God and he says, "Oh God, thou art my God." You know, you can only say to God, "Thou art my God," when there is no other God before you. You can only call God my God when I have left everything else that will hinder in my service or worship and obedience to him. If it's halfway, God is not my God. Matter of fact, Jesus calls men who could not believe that he was going to resurrect. He said, "Oh fools." He called them, "Oh fools, slow of heart," or I can't quote it exactly. He says, because they wouldn't believe what the prophets had written. He calls them fools. So did they not believe anything that the prophets wrote? No. They believed much. But they could not believe that what would happen to Jesus Christ, their master, that he would die on a cross, a gruesome, terrible death, and then arise again in 3 days. They didn't believe that. That's why they scattered when Jesus was on the cross and was being taken to trial and so on. They scattered. And so, because they couldn't believe it. And he says, "Fools." Now, what are we if there's any portion of Scripture, which is the inspired Word of God, that I am going to not accept? If I don't accept anything, I am a fool, a Christian fool. That's what I am. That's what Jesus calls us. Why? Because you fail to believe that which is written. The truth, you don't want to believe it. You'd rather believe a lie. Well, David here calls upon God, recognizing God as his God, knowing that his heart was with him. He says, "Early will I seek thee, and my soul thirsteth for thee." We know that Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled." David is saying here, "My soul is thirsting for thee." He's in the wilderness. He was chased off the throne. And his soul is thirsting for God. There's no doubt in him. There's a firm faith and a belief. The brother led us in prayer, and it's so important, dear ones, to think about this. He talked about our doubts that actually cause us. We're fools when we doubt. And so if we have doubts of anything of God's word, we are fools. And as fools, we fail. We will fail, because we read this morning of the portion of Scripture where Jesus told the Father, only believe, everything can happen. He said, just if this can happen, he said, everything can with faith, believe. And so our belief has to be such that it is grounded, unmovable, in the face of great adversity, In the face of death itself. We cannot be moved, our faith in Jesus Christ. "My flesh longeth for thee." He's in a dry and a thirsty land. Where he is, There's no water. And so my soul is thirsting. He's not saying for water, it's for him. Because he knows that when he has him, he doesn't need anything else. And so we know of David's psalms that he wrote of his repentance, his confidence that he still always had in the God of his salvation. And here he says, he is thirsting for God. He says, and what? He says, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen it in the sanctuary. So he's not here saying, oh, I'm out here in the wilderness. There's no water. There's no food. There's no protection from the elements. If I could just have my palace, if I could have my comforts, if I could have, you know, what would we do if we're suddenly removed from the comforts of our everyday life, which we all have? Our comforts are actually greater than King David's were, even in his palace, because we have running water, we have electricity at the flip of a switch. We live better than he did as a king in today's day. So he's not crying for the comforts of his palace. He's not crying out for those things. He says, for their power and the glory as I have seen it in the sanctuary. His loss, his craving, his desire is the sanctuary. The sanctuary. Where God says, I am there if more than two or three of you gather in my name. I am there. David says, I'm in the wilderness. I want to be in the sanctuary where I have seen the power and the glory of God. If I was chased into a wilderness by those who are seeking my life, and as I am out there, I ask myself, what would I long for? What do you long for? He says, for the sanctuary. He wants to be in the sanctuary where God's people are, where God himself is, and his power and glory is demonstrated. Or visible and seen. He says, because thy loving kindness is better than life. If I die in the wilderness, so be it. But thy loving kindness is better than life. Life without you, life without God, David is basically describing here, is futile. It's futile. Life without God is nothing. My dear young man and my young ladies, life without God is meaningless. My lips shall praise thee. So being in the sanctuary was so... We heard this morning from a sister who's here from Canada. She was weeping as she was describing being in a sanctuary where they're singing and being removed from that. And now to be in it again. You know, when we, is that what it means to us every time we gather or have the opportunity to gather? This is where the power and the glory of God is as he comes in and his presence, as his word is open and prayers are made to him and hymns are sung. His name is honored, glorified. Do we have that same desire in our hearts? He says, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul will be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Where does that joy come from? From the loving kindness that is better than life itself. The loving kindness of God, as he has given it unto him, showed him his loving kindness. David saw, recognized, believed, and never lifted his hand against God's anointed, though we or man himself would always be ready and willing. And think of it as, look, God gave Saul into my hands right here, right now. Done. God did it. And yet he said, no, I will not. He recognized that was not for him to do. His was to believe and wait upon the Lord. Let the Lord do his work. I don't need to hasten it. I don't need to make it my way. I'll let it be the Lord's way, and I'll simply believe. This is a prayer of great faith, of great longing to be in the presence of God in his sanctuary. He says, when I remember thee upon my bed, he can't sleep. He's in the wilderness of Judah. He can't sleep. What does he think about? Does he fall asleep by counting sheep? He says, I remember thee upon my bed. His thoughts are centered on his life giver, on his life sustainer, on the one whom he loves and adores. He says, I remember thee upon my bed, and I meditate on thee in the night watches, in the middle of the night. My meditation is upon thee, Lord. Because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. You have been my help, and so in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice. I will be content and wait upon thee. Thou hast been my help in the past. I'm content in the shadow of thy wing, and I will wait for thee to do thy work, and not me, my own. As he was pursued off his throne and into the wilderness, as men sought his life, my soul followeth hard after thee. He didn't say, my soul followeth after thee. That would be sufficient, right? My soul followeth after thee. But when you throw in the word hard, it actually paints a picture of a pursuit that is focused on Christ and him alone. And I am following hard after thee, Lord. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Thy presence is with me. I'm waiting on thee. And I am following hard after thee. I meditate upon thee in the night watches. I remember thee upon my bed. In other words, I'm not distraught. I'm not full of anxiety, which is as much of a sin as a lie is. I know it sounds horrible because we're all so anxious all the time. There's so many things that cause so much anxiety. And what? What are you going to change? What are we going to change? Should David be full of anxiousness, anxiety just gripping him and ripping him? He says, I remember thee on my bed and in the night watch. When his thought is on Christ, what's there to worry about? What was the thought of, and we see it in the disciples as they are being pursued themselves. What did they do? In the stocks, beaten, bruised, even more so than David here, singing. No anxiety. Anxiety is sin. Why? Because you take, O fools of heart, you don't believe me that I will not leave you. Or you think that if I take your life, if I require your life, that your children can't do without you. You think that I'm going to desert them. You think I'm just going to desert. I'm going to be with you through death. I promise you that. Believe it. I know it's easy to say, but there's only one thing that can make us believe it, and that is to recognize who our Lord Jesus is, to recognize his beauty, to recognize his holiness, to recognize who he is, and that he would be all sufficient for me. All. When he becomes not enough, when he becomes less than enough, I will seek to fill that less than enough with something else, and that something else is always sin. anxiety, doesn't matter, lies, cheating, stealing, lusts, doesn't matter what it is, pride, lifting himself, oneself up, it's all because Christ is less than, and I become a fool. I become a Christian fool. In other words, I have no knowledge of who Jesus is when I have replaced him with something less than him. And then I take on other things, the things that this flesh will embrace. David here is saying, I'm longing for the sanctuary. That's it. Not the palaces, not anything else. I want to be in the presence of my God. I follow hard after thee. Dear ones, if we just follow hard after him, we will change everything about us. But that hard following can't come unless we recognize and acknowledge him as the beauty, as the holiness that he is. Then and only then can I love him. Then will he be able to be my all. Then will he will be so precious and dear to me that if I can't come into the sanctuary to worship who? Him. It's not for me, it's for him. And as I worship him, I'm strengthened in faith. I become strengthened. I'm given by him. And so this is my longing. This is what I meditate on in the night watch. This is my love. I love him more than life. Life itself. Because he says here, thy loving kindness is better than life. So without Jesus, you might as well just take me out. Because life doesn't matter. I could live to be 100. It's going to swiftly pass and then it's done. And then what? God will only give us that which we wanted. An eternity without him. We wanted a life without him because we want an eternity without him. And so, dear ones, when we talk about our faith, when we talk about we believe, you know, I know James tells us that the devils believe also and they tremble. When you think about the devils, they believe more than any of us believe. If you want to look at the hard facts of belief, why? Because they saw his glory. They saw. They're at the throne. There's nothing not to believe. They believe and they tremble. Do we believe? And does it cause us to tremble? Well, it should until we come to the realization of who he is. And when he becomes my all, then I am described here as David describes himself. There's no more anxiety. There's no more fear. There's only joy. There's peace. It's what he gives. It's what he gives. Those that seek my soul to destroy it, they shall go into lower parts of the earth. You dig a hole for someone, you're going to fall into it, period. You're going to fall into it. Not you might not, you will. And that hole, you might not find your way into that hole immediately, but that hole will find you. And it's called God's judgment. It's his judgment. Every knee will bow before him and recognize him for who he is. And every person will know that his judgments are righteous and pure. They're right. He is passing the judgment on me that I deserve. I did not want him. He passes that judgment on me. It's right. It's just. You can't cry for mercy because you're standing before the one who knows everything. And so your mouth is shut and you can't say a word as your books are opened and everything is laid out. says that the king shall rejoice in God. His rejoice is in God. Rejoicing is in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Dear ones, any untruths, we have to recognize their source. We have to recognize the source of an untruth is from the devil. And in the devil, there is not one bit, a tininess of anything of good. Nothing. There's nothing in him that's good. Lies come from him. For us to utter a lie, Jesus says, your father then is the father of lies. But he says, David says here, those mouths will be stopped. The accusations against him and everything else, that's all going to be stopped. But the one who calls upon God, who relies upon him, he will glory. And that's why David was able to write that psalm that I know is so dear to so many of us, especially at a time of death when we think of those whom we loved, we watch them pass on, and we think of, and we know, we have that confidence that Jesus took that soul through that door of death. He didn't have to fear any evil. His presence was with him. This is the confidence that David had in his God. This is what comes when you follow hard after him. When you recognize, when God reveals your sin to you, you see it. You don't become a fool and ignore it. He shows you. That's the chastening. That's the ouch. That hurts. That's the chastening. I've let my Lord down. But then it brings relief. It brings joy. It brings peace. That's what repentance does. It's restoration. And that's what David went through. And he blesses the Lord. And he desires him and yearns for him and wants to be in his presence. And so, dear ones, we live in a day today where we are so far removed from what we read in this psalm. We're so far removed that it doesn't even, we can't even try to picture it. Because how would you picture it? You just picture some wilderness and he's out there running around wild and free. But we can't understand it. And then through all of that, his longing, his thirst, and his hunger is for the Lord, the object of his desire, his love, his worship, his everything. May that, dear ones, be the desire of our heart. May that be the love of our heart, that we would recognize the Lord Jesus in his beauty, in his holiness, in his purity, in his mercy, his love that he has for us, so that we could understand him and know, reach that, as James also talks about, having that knowledge of God. Once we have that, what's the knowledge? That, his purity, his holiness, his mercy, his love. When we have that, we will serve him. We will serve him as he desires to be served. Because everything else will be hated by us. Why? Because God hates it. God hates it. I can't love something that God hates. Right? You can't. If you do, your heart's not right. It's not with him. It's not with him. And so let's pray, dear ones, to our Lord that he would give us the knowledge of who he is. Once we know him, we can worship him. And we can also then be described as King David here describes, as one who hungers and thirsts, that Jesus says, you will be blessed. Amen.